Okay. All right, everybody. All right, everybody, come on in. Let's get a seat. I get this show going. Good morning. My name is Mike Souder. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace. So on Saturday last week, I entered the Dayton Muddler. Have you heard of this ridiculous race? The Muddler is a four-mile adventure race that goes around and through the town of Dayton, and there's 25 or 30 obstacles and a lot of mud. And it is so much fun. It was the first time I've ever done anything like that in my life. And I was running and jumping over all these obstacles and flying through there. And then I got to this wall, like this 10-foot wall with a rope. Now, I had debated all week whether or not I should do this race because I had cut my hand and I had 6 stitches in my hand that week. And I was like, I don't know if I should do this race. You know, there's a lot of mud and, you know. But my good friend Nathan Blackwell said, tape it up with duct tape, you'll be fine. So, which I thought seemed like better advice than the doctor who said, don't do it. So, but I get to this wall and I'm like, what am I going to do? Because you can't, I anyway am not strong enough to climb over a rope wall one hand like this. So fortunately, I ran with the team. And so here we are, there's 11 of us, and JJ's sitting up at the top of the wall. And I'm like, you're going to have to throw me over this wall. And so I climb up as best as I can and kind of throw him my stump of a hand. And he just pulls me up over the wall. And we go on our merry way. And then we get to this feed bag thing where you have to put a feed bag on your back and run around the track. And drop it several times and pick it up. And again, what am I going to do? I can't pick up a bag with one hand. So somebody has to put this bag and on throughout the race. So here we are, plowing our way through this race, having a great time. The winner of the race, you could also do it by yourself, the winner of the race completed in 37 minutes. 37 minutes. Took us an hour and 20. But we had a great time. I was telling my wife, I said, you know, this reminds me of that Rwandan proverb, which I quote a lot. It says, to go fast, walk alone. To go far, walk together. And she's like, that's nice, but you all completed the same distance. I was like, oh, man. I even had it in the title of the sermon and everything at this point. But then I thought, you know what else? To go fast, walk alone. How about to finish, walk together? There was no way I could have done that race by myself that day. We were not created to go through this race of life alone. We just weren't made for that. We were created to live with and work with other people to make it through that. And the Apostle Paul knew that very well. And so all throughout the scriptures, he's connecting people. As the early church is forming, Paul is connecting people, even from prison. Paul is sending messengers and writing letters and trying to connect people. So we've spent the past 7 days or 7 Sundays digging through Paul's letter to the Colossians, where Paul wrote to encourage the Colossians and to call them up to their identity. He told them to serve and to submit to one another and to watch out for distractions. Colossians is full of this thick theology that if you get into it a little bit, it won't just entertain you intellectually, it'll change your life. And so today we come to the close of this letter where Paul gives us some final comments. Oh, here's some pictures. Look at this. I should have showed these while I'm doing this thing. This is the best one right here. I don't know what that is. Okay, so if you want to read along, Colossians chapter 4, this is the last part of Colossians, starting verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Onesimus, you may remember, is a runaway slave that Paul has found, and now Paul is sending him back to his quote-unquote owner with instructions that basically he's supposed to receive him as a dear brother to free him. This is just one of those little things that if you get into a little bit, you'll see the total societal transformation that Paul is looking for. Verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Now, whether or not they're the only Jews with him in jail or the only Jews completely, the point is here you have mega-Jew Paul with everyone abandoning him except these few people. Talk about the cost of following Jesus. Paul's not only in prison, but he's completely been abandoned by everyone, and he just is plowing on ahead. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling for you in prayer that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him. He's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Epaphras is the one who likely founded this Colossian church in the first place. It seems he has connected. He's trying to connect people with other churches too. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nymph and the church in her house. Nymph and the church in her house. Talk about women in leadership. No time for that right now. The point is, Paul is honoring, endorsing, connecting people, right? He knew they needed one another. He knew they would be better with this expanded set of relationships, right? We live in a time where there's a global economy because people know it will work economically to have this global vantage point. How much more so in the kingdom of God should we be thinking in terms of how can we love and serve each other all over the world? After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. I wish we had that one. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Imagine this. Imagine Archippus sitting there. He's like, how did he know I was thinking of bailing, you know? I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Don't waste the freedom you have. Don't waste, Paul's saying, don't waste what I'm giving you here. I'm in chains, but you're not. Share with people what I've told you. Complete the work God has called you to. And so there we have it. These are the final words of this letter. And we can imagine the listeners of this letter sitting there and hearing this. And he comes to the end of it, and he's like, that's it. And they're like, what? You know, they want some answers. And so this guy, Tychicus, likely at this point, helps fill in some of the blanks. So this morning, we have a special guest with us. It's not Tychicus. Well, actually, maybe it's better than Tychicus. Today we have Cindy Perry with us. Cindy Perry, you'll get a chance for that in a second. Cindy Perry is one of our long-term missionary partners. And a friend of this church. Cindy's cross-cultural ministry began 40 years ago in 1980 in Israel with something called Project Kibbutz. It was around that time our founding pastor, Dick Blackwell, met with Cindy and invited her to come here. Cindy initially served primarily in the Himalayan region, Nepal and India, always in leadership development. In 2005, Cindy was invited to join an organization called Development Associates International, which is focused on helping leaders develop servant leadership as their core principle. DAI offers 18 biblically-based courses to address the specific needs of Christian leaders, and they have a master's degree program and free online learning in over 80 countries. Would you please welcome with me this morning, Dr. Cindy Perry. Doctor. You are a doctor. Cindy has a true global impact. Do you remember recommending the book Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne? You remember that?
Yeah.
That book wrecked me. I'm still messed up from that.
I love to mess up people.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Seriously disrupted life. But I mean, even that is an expression of your capacity to have an impact wherever you are, whatever you're doing. So we've invited Cindy to join us this morning because her life and ministry give her a unique insight in what it means to live as a global Christian, you could say. She's raised up hundreds, probably thousands really, of, don't
Might
be modest,
be an exaggeration.
Of Christian disciples throughout the world, especially in Nepal and India and expanding throughout South Asia, and these people are now carrying this work on. So for the next 10 to 15 minutes, we're going to invite Cindy to answer a few questions. We're going to have a little conversation about what can we learn in little Harrisonburg, what can we learn from Christians throughout the world? Because you've seen more of them than we have. But first, what any comments you want to give, any greeting you would like to give, anything you'd like to say, have at it.
Yeah, I would love to just say how special to be here this morning and to worship with you. This morning was really special for me in my heart, and I don't have opportunity for that kind of worship often. But I also want to say thank you to this congregation for standing with me for so many years. Mm. When Mike said this is my kind of 40-year anniversary of going overseas. It actually started in 78 in going to Project Kibbutz for 2 years, and from there that the Lord called me out to go to the Himalayas and to Nepal originally. That expanded to India, and now I'm responsible for South and Southeast Asia in a number of countries where we're working. But what I the Lord, when I realized 40 years, I went, oh my gosh. Really? I mean, I still feel young. I look young, right? And I just thought, I am so grateful to be able to come here this summer and to just say thank you to people. Not all of you have been here that long, obviously, but a lot of you have. And a church that has prayed for me faithfully, has supported me, has encouraged me. And that's unusual in our world today, to have a long-standing relationship like that. And it really does touch my heart. And so I just asked Mike for the chance to say, thank you, Grace Covenant Church. And all of you that have done that, and the prayer group, you guys have an amazing, I don't know if you know how amazing, but you have an amazing missions group that meets for that early morning prayer. And they speak prophetically. They pray prophetically. And that has had an impact not only on me, but on others that they've started to pray for through being able to introduce them. So I want to honor them as well. Thank
That's
you.
That's great. That's very good. Okay, so we'll be using Colossians as a bit of a springboard for this. And I have given her a heads up that we're going to ask her questions, by the way. Just so you're not nervous about that.
His questions are this long.
Oh. They were long. It was ridiculous. But my hope is that this little conversation really will inspire all of us to some kind of new perspective and new action, okay? So please don't check out and think, okay, you know, that's nice what's happening there. Let's be listening for the Lord to speak to us about how this is to impact us, okay? I'm going to pray into that just briefly. God, we thank you. We thank you for how you sovereignly put us in relationship with people. You know better than we do who we need to be in relationship with. And so, God, we thank you for Cindy, and we thank you for this time we're going to have here. We open our hearts. I open my heart anyway. God, I pray that you would speak to us. We invite you to challenge and direct us as your people right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so first question. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
One of Paul's...
Is that how you call the Holy Spirit?
That's right. Yes. Oh. Okay. So one of the Apostle Paul's key themes in Colossians and other letters is that everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God. Greeks, Jews, slaves, women, men alike. Everyone is welcome. So what is an example of where you've seen believers in Nepal or India living this out well? And how might you encourage us as citizens of Harrisonburg to live that out?
There's a small question.
Yeah.
You know, almost immediately when you say that, one person comes to mind whose name is Ron Cargay, who has had a fantastic ministry in discipleship, raising up young leaders, but it was always amongst young men. And that's very traditional there, and women haven't normally had a very forward part. But as he was going, as we were relating and such, he went through a course we had on women and men together ministering and the place that women have. And God just spoke to his heart that he had been honoring all these men, but he hadn't even thought about their wives, their families. And he immediately called the next retreat he had. It wasn't just for the men. He called their wives. And he got in a team of people to minister to their wives as well.
Wow.
And to honor them. And out of that, he found marriages that were almost breaking up. Because those men, wonderful, committed young men of God, but so committed to the ministry and to following Ron that they were neglecting their families in some cases, or their teenage kids or so. And there were marriages healed. There was a new sense of what is it that how God wants to use these men's wives and the women that we touch in ministry alongside of us as much as he does the others.
Wow.
And he to see a man of his standing stand up in front of that group and say, I am apologizing to every woman in this room on behalf of us as men, that we have not honored you in the gifts that God has put in you. I mean, that just does not happen in that kind of hierarchical society. But for one thing, their sense of, if you're a leader, you never admit a weakness.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to not only admit, but really repent of it from his heart, and to see that change, that was amazing. And then to see ministries like that begin to incorporate not just their tribal group or their particular caste group, but to bring in, like to begin to reach out to the Muslims. One young man I was with in college, he was in college at the time, and he was just a normal young man in the youth group. But God put something in his heart to begin to reach out to Muslims. And I had never seen that from a Nepali, that they would reach out to Muslims. And he took himself to Malaysia to get trained up and to equipped, and began to have in one of the most, I won't even name the country right now, but in a very difficult place, began a ministry amongst Muslims. And that's, again, God breaking down those barriers between us, whether it's ethnically, whether it's nationally, whether it's economically, and saying, you are part of me. And I think something God has spoke to me on is when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who's included in that hour?
Yeah.
Our Father. It's not just the other believers. Actually, if we go right back to Genesis, he created each one of us in his image. Mm-hmm. No matter what religion they're of, what country they're of, etc. He created them, and he's wanting to draw them back into himself. And when I pray these days, Our Father, I'm thinking, all those who you created, who you're thumbprint is on.
Well,
that they might be, know him as
yeah.
Father.
That's so good. I want to go back to the two things you said in there. Both the first person who was this dynamic leader and then this young emerging youth group kid, it seems the thread is they were convicted by the Holy Spirit, or God, it was like spoke to them, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't just that they read it.
No.
Oh, I should be more aware of diversity. They were compelled by the love of God to change, right?
They were compelled, but there was also, I think we sang about it, there was a hunger.
Yeah.
There was something inside that wanted, that was open to change. I think in each of their cases, it was, Lord, speak to me. It's not like the Holy Spirit, bam, oh my God. He said something I never would have anticipated. Well, that may happen too. But there was also a receptivity, a surrender, a sense of, Lord, whatever you want, show me. And then he does begin to show us. But if we don't want to know, he's too much of a gentleman to just punch in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's really good. Very good. Okay, second question. You did good. That was A plus. Okay, second question. The Apostle Paul warned the Colossian believers to look out for deception, distractions that could come from fine-sounding arguments and hollow philosophy. What might be some of the deception or distractions that Paul might warn us of? And I know you may be more familiar with thinking in terms of South Asia, sure. But maybe start there and then go towards us as, you know, what are some of the deception and distractions believers need to look out for today?
You know, I think one of them that hits me so much that when I saw that question, thank you for letting me look at it ahead, that goes across globally. It is happening in South Asia, definitely, but I think it's very much here, is the disease of busyness.
Mm.
And I call it a disease, that which causes dis-ease, because it infects our lives and makes us think that if we're not busy all the time, if we're not producing, and in the American context, you know, our strong work ethic that's been there in a community like this, I think that may be even more than in some other places. Mm-hmm. But we tend to, what we do, what we achieve, we take our identity
yeah,
from.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And that's not where God sees our identity or how he places our identity. We've lost the thrill, the joy, the gift from God of rest. Mm. And we need to reclaim. He wants us to learn to rest in him. Mm. Now, rest can be very active. But we've lost that because we're so busy. We're so trying to produce things. We're so trying to, and often in ministry, you know, the Mike Souders that I often work alongside of, we're so intense and we've got to do this, we've got to do this.
Yeah.
And the ministry can overcome
yeah.
the side of finding that place of intimacy with God. Not that Mike, of course, suffers from that, but
not in the slightest.
But that's where he calls us first, in that place of rest and of intimacy with him, and to continually go back to that place so that we might be refilled, so that we might be able to be like Jesus, who said, I only say the things God's given, my Father's given me to say. I only do the things my Father's given me to do. But man, I find myself doing all kinds of other things, and they're all good. But have I stopped to listen? To really hear and to realize it's not what I do, it's what the Holy Spirit does through me and the Christ living in me.
Yeah.
Does that speak to?
Absolutely. I think maybe you all would agree, in doing this study of Colossians, we've found the importance of identity, like knowing who God is, then we know who we are, and that changes it. We still might work really hard, but we work out of love for God, not out of trying to prove something, or they're different, aren't
yeah.
they?
And not only out of love, but out of love as through his impetus.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul talks about that, strengthened with all the strength of God. Yeah. Good, another A plus. So, Cindy, your passion as defined straight off your website is to walk alongside and see Christian leaders grow in Christ-likeness and living, working as his kingdom representatives among their families, churches, communities, and nations. If you were to pick one leader who's been most fruitful and share something about them that maybe we could model our lives after in some appropriate way, who would that be?
Wow. There's actually so many examples. And let me say, that is where I get passionate, is coming alongside of younger leaders and see men, young women that have vision, that God's given them incredible vision, incredible impetus to do something, but to walk with them in seeing how do they get from here up to where that vision is, and to be a small part of that. These guys do stuff that I would never dream about. And no, it's not in my capacity, but yet somehow I get to be a part of it by walking with them, by being in a mentoring or coaching or training, whatever position. Well, I think one person that comes to mind real quick is a man named Pastor Cross. How would you like to have a name like Cross?
Oh, man.
And he's walked the cross, let me tell you, in some of the suffering he's encountered as well. But Cross was a young pastor, a worship leader, and he was a great worship leader, and he's raised up a lot of others, and he traveled the country in worship leading and helped to plant a church. But he realized, as we were walking together, that there was what somebody has called a hole in his gospel. You ever heard that expression of a hole in the gospel? And what was missing for him, in a sense, was he was very engaged in evangelism, church planting, worship, etc., but he couldn't see, wasn't seeing, and understand what I mean here, the poor, the really suffering, the people right on his doorstep, behind his house, that God was calling him and those that he was working with to touch their lives, to bring some joy to them, to meet their practical needs. And he began to get involved in the slums in a place called Shillong, where he's at. And out of that came a children's home that they started that they called God's Dream Home. Wow. Because he got a hold of, God, what is your dream for our community? And he saw part of God's dream wasn't just to get everybody saved, to give them their ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
He wanted to see them redeemed here. He wanted to see his kingdom manifest here on earth as it is in heaven.
So
hallelujah.
Good.
Come on, folk.
That's really good, yeah.
But
I would clap, but my
hands. That's stitches, yeah. And then he was, as he was working in the slums with these kids, and I've walked these plays with him. In fact, we have a little video, if there's time to show it, that shows him in these places. And this was a next step, in a sense, for him. And now, and you'll see him as the God's Dream Home expanded to, as he went into those slums, women who were homeless and literally living just under a tarp and almost in the mud, and old men who had been abandoned because they were considered useless by society. Wow. And so he started a little God's Dream Home for men. Now, he had no foreign funding. He had no outside backing or big organization. He had faith. I have seen him empty his pockets I don't know how many times or heard about in the aftermath of something. It's just who he and his wife are, his family. And, yeah, I don't... Let's...
Do we have a video? Awesome.
Jesus said, I came to seek the lost. I feel like many times as a pastor or even as Christians, we are too confined in the four walls of the church. There are people who know nothing about God's love at all. And they are people who are suffering and they need to hear this gospel. I was introduced to DAI in 2009 by a friend of mine. They offered two courses, one the hymn lead workshop, which is a non-formal one, and the other one is an MA program. And so right now I'm in the fourth semester of this MA program of DAI. And that really changed my perspective. You know, it has really been a blessing to me, especially the teachings on God's heart for the poor. I have a heart for the lost souls and all, but the teachings that I had has really impacted me. It's like it really opened my eyes. I feel like the compassion of God, you know, deep down inside my heart. To show God's love, not only in words, but also in a practical way. Our heart is to bring hope to those who have no hope at all and so many other things. There's one family in one village called Raitong. It's an orphan family and they are really in dire need and they have no proper means to even sustain themselves. And so we helped them start a pig's farm. And also we supplied them the seeds. We pray that the Lord will bless them. Also, we have a home where we embrace those homeless people. It's called God's Dream Home. So it's a home for the elderly men, those homeless and uncared men. We decided to construct a new God's Dream Home for the women. And after much prayer, start the children's home. The things that I learned from that workshop was on God's heart for the poor. And the other thing that has really impacted me is the topic on servant leadership. That topic has really opened up my eyes and changed my perspective to see how we can serve God in the way that Jesus served and lead the people. So this is our way of serving God. This is our way of what we learn of expressing our service to God when we serve one another, when we love one another, not only with our words, but in action, like what we learn in DAI. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. If we don't do it, who will do it?
Wow. I think that last phrase that he says, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. If we don't do it, if we don't walk into those places, if we don't extend the hand of love, who will do it? And, yeah, I don't think I need to expand on that.
Yeah. But maybe you could, just a little bit. you know, I watch that video and I'm like, oh, I want to do something like that, you know? And I think most of us here are here today because we want our lives to make some kind of difference. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to copy Pastor Cross, mm-hmm. but what would you say are a few, you know, say there's somebody in this room today that's like, I want to make a difference for the Lord and for the kingdom. Where do I start?
I think we all start right where we are, in our own neighborhood, on our own street, in our own community.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning. I said something to Tim Parrish as we were chatting over a cup of coffee before I came. A passage in Luke where, you know, this woman had come and was weeping and over Jesus' feet and wiping his feet, and Simon the Pharisee there was like, doesn't he know who that is?
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus gave this illustration, and then he turned to Simon and he said, do you see this woman? Do you really see her? And what Simon saw was, here's somebody who's been a prostitute. Here's somebody who's making him dirty by touching him.
Right.
You know, this is... Why doesn't he understand what's going on here? He should be more culturally sensitive, maybe he's thinking. And Jesus is saying, he wants us to see as he sees. he saw a woman who was there expressing her gratitude and her love for him. He saw a woman who was repenting, who was entering into the grace that he offered. And I think that's where we start. Lord, give me eyes to see the people that I encounter day by day when I go to the coffee shop, when I'm in the grocery store, when I'm on the job. May I see them as you see them. May I see, really, you know, when I sit with Mike, I don't just see my perception of who I've known him to be before. I see something beyond that, to see into each other's hearts. And then he gives us the response. And I think that's where we walk into this place of, as we see what he sees, he gives us that we can do the things that he would do in response to what we see. And to love with his love. I don't have the capacity. I don't think Pastor Cross has the capacity, walking into that slum or wherever, to love those people out of himself. But as he surrendered himself to Christ, as we say, Lord, I'm willing. I don't know how to do it, what to do. But give me your love to love them with. You find that in Romans 5:5. He'll give us the very love we need. He'll give us his eyes if we want it. And there's so much going on in our communities. Yeah. I was really blessed when I asked somebody yesterday, just after I'd arrived, you know, are there churches here in Harrisonburg that are offering sanctuary to some of the immigrants that are under pressure? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not talking about that as a political issue. I'm talking about human beings who are suffering and that need a friend or that need some practical help. And there's all kinds of situations if we have eyes to see.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's great if God calls you overseas, but so often, I guess I just have to add this.
Please.
We think that if I'm going to really serve God, you know, I have to become a full-time ministry in the church, or I need to be a missionary and I need to go overseas. The testing ground and what proves you as his full-time follower is right here. Yeah. Have we done it? Are we reaching out? Are we learning to love our neighbor?
Yeah.
And the neighbor is not just the next door nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, the neighbor is the Samaritan.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really tough, because a Samaritan is the person I'm afraid of. Or that religiously is different. And I mean, I'd have to go back and give my whole sermon on that. But but we know that the Samaritans, you know, for the Jews, were those who were the hated. And Jesus purposely went to them, purposely even used it as a Samaritan who ministered to the Jew who had fallen by the roadside. Talk about a slap in the face to the Jewish people that were his people. So who's the Samaritan in your community?
We talk sometimes about, this is not in the script here, we talk about wanting to grow in evangelism as individuals or as a church, and sometimes I think we get a little tied up in thinking if we had a better strategy or a better better idea of exactly what to do, then we would do it. But really what I think it comes back to in large part is appreciation for what God has done for us, deep love for God because of what he has done for us and how he sees us. Have you or any of the people...
Can I speak to
please,
that for
yeah.
me? Just... Because that takes me back to those deceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we are so program-oriented in America, or formula-oriented.
Yeah.
We just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Give me the formula,
right.
Whether it's in church or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not about a formula.
Yeah.
It's about a living relationship with Jesus Christ and walking in that relationship, walking where he's walking, and allowing him to walk with us into those situations. But we want a program to do it.
Yeah.
And that's... You know, evangelism or evangelism explosion. There's another program. Well, I've lived through an evangelism explosion in Nepal that had nothing to do with the program. It had to do with the Spirit of God energizing people in the midst of the worst persecution that I had ever lived in the midst of, where the pastors that I was working closely with, two of them were in jail, you know, where there were people being beaten because of their faith, etc. And that's all heating up in South Asia. It's getting... it's just getting really difficult with churches burned, et cetera, et cetera. There's not time to go into that. But in that, that's where God refines. That's where he takes and says, are you really going to trust me? Be dependent on me. And understand that I can bring joy even out of and through the suffering, the persecution, whatever it might look like in our different circumstances.
Amen.
Back to you.
That'll do it. I mean, really, that alone is, isn't it interesting how that's a truth for Christians wherever they are, whether they're here or in a place of severe persecution? It's still to have a relationship with God that empowers us and gives us joy even in the hardest times.
And can I say on that?
Yeah.
He just keeps sparking me. You know? A relationship with God that is the type that is, as Jesus wrote, not as Jesus, as God related to Abraham, he said, I have blessed you that you might be a blessing to the nations.
Right.
But that's another deception in our churches.
Right.
In many churches. I'm not speaking specifically to Grace Covenant here, and this is where I'm at as well. We're looking for God's blessing because we want to be blessed, and because that's what God's supposed to do, and he's going to heal all my diseases, hallelujah, and everything's got to go good if I'm really walking right with him. Wrong.
Yeah.
The longer I'm walking with him, the more challenges, the more difficulties that we often face. But he wants us to face him with joy. And he wants us to know that as he blesses us, as he gives us things, it's so that we are willing to share that and to bless others, not to accumulate unto ourselves.
Yeah. It's the difference between a privilege versus a responsibility, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in part, it's one way of saying
that. That's part of it.
Can we all give Cindy a big round of applause this morning? Thank you. So way more rich than I would have imagined. Can we all stand up? Let's stand up. God has called each of us to something far bigger than what we initially thought. But I think he wants to use other people to help us discover what that bigger thing is, in part. So hopefully that's what's happening even this morning. But I just want to invite you, Cindy, to pray over us. Whatever you feel like God is telling you we need as a church. Or whatever there are certain people are here at the church that need. But mostly pray that we will learn what it means to think more broadly and do this thing well.
Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Yeah. Our Father, you who indeed are in heaven, but not out there heaven, the heaven that surrounds us in this very atmosphere, in a dimension we can't feel or touch perhaps, but our with us God. Lord, thank you that you are ever in our midst, right beside us and within us. And I just pray, Father, that in this congregation, the individuals, also as a body, that there would be a rising up of your Spirit within each one. That their spirits would rise up within them to meet your Spirit. And that special union, that special integration that only you can bring, that they realize the fullness of the eternal life that each one who has taken your name has already entered into, as a way of living in the stream of your life. Lord, I pray that each one here, as you speak to them by your Spirit, would be willing to swim in that stream, to be carried by that stream to the places that you have for them, in meeting the people that you would have them meet, and to share the life, the love, the joy, the peace, all of those deep things of your Spirit and that are characteristics of your Spirit. And that we might see your life imparted to the neighbors, to the people next door, to those who are suffering and hurting. Lord Jesus, use my brothers and sisters here as your representatives, but more than representatives, as your hands and feet, even as we've seen with Pastor Cross, in this community and beyond this community, that it will be a multiplied effect. Father, you know what you're wanting to speak in each one, and I just pray for open hearts, open ears, open eyes, open minds to receive what you are saying and to do the things that you give them to do. Our Lord reigns, and may you indeed reign here. May this be an outpost of the kingdom of God. May this congregation and this people here manifest and give glimpses of the kingdom now that you said, Jesus, you came to bring. And we see life pouring out. Your word, your living word, Lord, that will be spoken through the lips of your people. And I just thank you for them, Lord. I pray your blessing indeed will be upon them, overflowing, pressed down. And that as you continue to bless and pour out upon them, they will find themselves pouring out more and more to be, even as you called Abraham, that they will enter into that as a blessing to the nations. Those nations that are right here in their midst, that are right next door, that represent, and beyond. I ask these things in Jesus' name for your glory and your honor and your praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Cindy. So if we could have the ministry team come forward. We, if you didn't know this part of us, we close every service with prayer for anybody who needs prayer for any reason. So if the ministry team could come, stand up here and make it easier for people coming to receive prayer, we're going to dismiss. Specifically, maybe there's somebody who you don't really have a relationship with God at all. We keep talking about God being the one who empowers us, gives us joy, God is Father. If you don't know God like that, let us pray with you, please. I'm going to share this benediction. We're done. May God Almighty, this is from Colossians 1. May God Almighty fill you with the knowledge of His will so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, strengthened with great endurance and patience, all of which results in giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Amen. You're dismissed.